Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, December 14th, 2021, Psalm 25.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to the 25th Psalm, Psalm 25. This is an acrostic psalm, alphabetical psalm, going through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Psalm 25. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul. Make sure that there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege we have this evening of assembling in freedom to worship our Lord Jesus Christ through the study of the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Just to remind you again, the Little People's Christmas play will be this Sunday, the second class. They have been practicing for over a month. They have, they got it down. They got their lines memorized, but that doesn't mean that they will still say them. So the Little People's Christmas play will be this Sunday, the second class. First class, we're in Romans. Second class, it is the Christmas play. The gospel will be given, and this is the time for you, if you would like to have friends, family, loved ones, neighbors that you would like to hear the gospel, this is a great time to have them come this Sunday for the second class. They won't get anything out of the first class if they're unbelievers, but they can hear the gospel at the second class. And that we have these invitations that are out there on the table. You can take as many of these as you want and give them to your family, friends, and neighbors. You are invited to our children's Christmas play, Sunday, December 19th, 11 a.m. That's the second class. And it's Christmas time again, Charlie Brown. So these are out there. If you want to take them and give them as invitations, that's fine. Also, we have the Divine Viewpoint on the night before Christmas in both red and green out there. Take as many of these as you want to send to family, friends, loved ones. Put in your Christmas cards, whatever. Also, all of our hunters, half the church was out freezing their ass off up at Ely and around about, and what, it got down to 2? That's hot, 2. But they're back, and see, I didn't know you were Gerald Cahoon II. I didn't know that. So then your son's Gerald Cahoon III. Notice how witty I was. Well, we got a bunch of pictures here that we'll get posted. They're really cool. It's a part of Operation Bible Drop. It says with these pictures, and they're all holding the little purple gospel book, God's gift of love to the world, Jesus Christ. They're all holding these. Please join with Operation Bible Drop in offering praises and thanksgiving to our God for the open doors that He provided for our missionary. And they name him here, and I probably am not pronouncing his name right, Revignatius UJ, in a jungle area of Nigeria and Cameroon, among the Bichivi tribes, a mountainous and reclusive people. Revignatius reports that many of them came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. You will see some of them holding the gospel booklets provided through Gerald Cahoon II on behalf of Pastor Richard Olson's church, Upland Bible Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. In his words, quote, just returned from the jungle mission field. Thank God for your prayers. The gospel of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ was proclaimed. Many came from different villages within Cameroon and Nigeria, and they turned and believed in Jesus Christ. And they got pictures, they're holding the gospel booklet, our gospel booklet, and this one. This is the missionary that went back into the jungles with the gospel booklet. And here are lots of them holding the purple gospel booklet in Africa, in the jungles of Nigeria and Cameroon. So this gospel booklet is being spread all throughout the world and all throughout Africa right now. That seems to be a positive place. All right, Psalm 25. Psalm 25, let's get the corrected translation. We'll go through these verse by verse. Verse 1 is the Olifile. To you, O Lord, all prayers are addressed to God the Father. I lift up my soul in prayer. This is David. David as a spiritually mature believer. Verse 2, the Bathphile. In you I batak. That's the Hebrew verb. It's a major faith rest verb. In you I trust. And it literally means pick up my troubles and problems and slam them on you, sir, O my God. Do not let me become confused, and do not let my enemies rejoice in military triumph over me. Verse 3, the Gemel file. Indeed, all of those who wait for you, that is maximum faith, rest, life, they will not be put to shame or confused. However, the ones who act treacherously and deceitfully without cause, they will be put to shame and confused. Verse 4, the Daleth file. Cause me to know your ways, O Lord. Intensively teach me your paths. Train me in your ways. Verse 5 has two letters, the Hey and Vav file. Guide me by means of your truth. Divine guidance comes through the absolute truth of the Word of God. And intensively teach me and train me, because you are the God of my deliverance, rescue, and safety. All day long, I have confidence in you. Maximum faith, rest, life. Verse 6, the Zayin file. Remember your compassions, O Lord, and your grace, your loving kindnesses, because they are from eternity past. Verse 6, he's saying, Father, remember who and why you are. You're a God of grace and compassion. And then in verse 7, he says, do not remember who and what I am. Now that's humility. Verse 7, do not remember the sins of my early life, nor my rebellion, living in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. But according to the norms and standards of your grace, you, Lord, remember me in the sense of protect me and deliver me for the purpose of your intrinsic goodness, O Lord. And then that brought us to the Taith file, verse 8. Good and just is the Lord, and therefore he teaches, instructs sinners in his ways. Verse 8 is the Taith file. The Taith connotes it connotes something rolled together. You can look at it. It looks kind of like a cinnamon roll. That's a Taith. Something rolled together. Twisting something together. The Taith connotes two or more concepts that are interrelated. In Psalm 25, verse 8, the goodness of God is interrelated with the righteousness and justice of God, the integrity of God. They're rolled together. When you see the phrase, the Lord is good, that refers to the plan of God. When you see the phrase, the Lord is upright, righteous, that refers to the essence of God, specifically his absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And therefore, the Taith file refers to the relationship between the plan of God and the integrity of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God has found a way to bless sinful man without compromising who and what he is, without compromising his integrity, without compromising his righteousness and justice. So David says, good and righteous, good and just is the Lord. The plan of God for mankind starts out with Operation Grace, the cross. God the Father designed a perfect plan to solve mankind's problem of sin. On that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle the world will ever know, the incarnation of the Son of God. That's the greatest miracle that mankind will ever know. God taking on true humanity. So on that very first Christmas, God the Father sent his eternal Son from heaven to earth to take on true humanity. Why? His mission was to go to a cross. Deity can't go to the cross. Deity can't die. So he had to take on true humanity. God the Father, he was born to go to a cross and pay the penalty of the world's sins. God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on Jesus Christ, and then he judged them in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. Having solved mankind's problems of sin through Operation Grace, the cross, God the Father was now free to offer the gift of eternal life and His imputed righteousness to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. God the Father could do this without compromising His essence because the salvation work of Christ on the cross propitiated His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Jesus Christ satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. He satisfied the righteousness of the Father because He was absolute righteousness. He satisfied the justice of the Father by being imputed and judged for the sins of all mankind. And therefore, at the moment of faith in Christ, God the Father imputes His righteousness to the believer, establishing a grace pipeline with the justice of God on one end and the imputed righteousness from God in the believer on the other end. The believer is encapsulated by the integrity of God. All blessing from God to the believer goes from the perfect justice of God to the imputed righteousness from God in the believer. And a part of that great blessing is that He will teach sinners in the way. And David totally, totally understood this. Good and just is the Lord, and therefore He teaches, He instructs, He trains sinners in His ways. David knows that he is a sinner saved by grace. He presented that very openly in great humility in verse 7. Do not remember the sins of my early life, nor my rebellion, my living in the cosmic system. He's very open. He's honest with God. He did get out of line. He got into adultery with Bathsheba. He murdered her husband. And he spent a lot of time in the cosmic system. He came that close to the sin unto death. But he recovered. He rebounded. Psalm 32:5. He got back in fellowship with God. And then he went through 15 years of installment discipline. And he wrote it all out. And as he was going through that installment discipline, he was growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And advancing and advancing. And now that 15 years of installment discipline is over. And he is going to be delivered from the Absalom conspiracy and revolution. Absalom is going to fail. He's going to die the sin unto death. Ahithophel, his advisor, is going to fail and die the sin unto death. The revolutionary armies will be totally defeated. David will be restored as king of Israel, and he will have the greatest years of his life after he's restored to king of Israel. David knows. He knows that he is a sinner. He knows that he is a sinner saved by grace. David knows that God is everything and that he is absolutely nothing. David has genuine humility and maximum grace orientation. Every member of the human race is a sinner. We come into the world physically alive, but in the status of spiritual death. We have an old sin nature. We have Adam's imputed sin. And as a result, we all commit personal sin. We are all sinners. We come into this world under condemnation. Condemnation precedes justification, salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now God can bless us without compromising His essence. He blesses us by teaching all of us sinners in His ways. He blesses us through the teaching of Bible doctrine. He instructs us through grace perspicacity. teaching us His plan, His will, His purpose, His grace, His essence. David is a spiritually mature believer who has maximum grace orientation and genuine humility. He knows that he is a sinner. He knows that God has graciously taught him His ways. And the result is, David loves God. He loves God because he loves the Word of God, Bible doctrine. You love the Word of God, Bible doctrine, you will wind up loving God. Good and just, absolute righteousness and perfect justice is the Lord. And therefore, He teaches, He instructs, He trains sinners like David, in His ways. And that brings us to verse 9, humility. Humility and divine guidance. If you want to know God's will, plan, and purpose for your life, you have to have humility. If you're arrogant, you're never going to know. Most believers today are arrogant. Most believers today are living in Satan's cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. And they do not know God's plan, will, and purpose for their life. They're not being guided by God. They're doing their own thing. Or they're being guided by some other idiot who is counseling them, that's the worst thing in the world. You ought to be guided by the wonder counselor, Jesus Christ, through the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. So humility and divine guidance. It starts out, the meek. The meek will He, God, guide in justice. Verse 9 is the Yod file. Verse 8 with the Tav file. This is the Yod file. That's a little tiny letter. In fact, that is translated in the New Testament, every jot and every tittle. The jot is the Yod. Y-O-D-H. Smallest Hebrew letter. The tittle is what distinguishes a daleth, that's the letter D, from a resh, the letter R. And there's the tittle right there. So we have the Yod file. The Yod is the 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Yod connotes the hand. So one, the Yod file is the hand file. The hand of God file. Two, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, both God the Father and God the Son take you in their hand. If you're here tonight and you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God the Father and God the Son are holding your hand. Turn over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. And start at verse 27. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." By the way, I did a series on following the Lord. And when I'm not here, we have been going over that, playing that series, Follow the Lord series. Now, I haven't I haven't been hunting for many moons. And one thing for sure, I never go hunting in December. Never go hunting in December. I hate cold. I love Las Vegas. I love hot. I love heat. And I hate cold. So one thing, don't even ask if you're going hunting in December. I'm not going. Now, I will go in August. I'll go hunting in August. September, to hell with the rest. But anyway, you guys, you're tough. You are tough. Stupid, but you're very tough. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. By the way, this is not only the hand of God passage, this is also one of the key rationales for eternal security. You can never, ever, ever lose your salvation. Why? Because Jesus Christ and God the Father are holding on to your hand. You're not holding on to their hand. They're holding on to your hand. You can let go. They're still holding on to you. And they will never, ever, ever let go. It is the quintessence of arrogance to think you can lose your salvation. That is, the most arrogant people in the world are those who think they can lose their salvation. You mean you're greater than Jesus Christ? You're greater than God? You're greater than God the Father? You're too arrogant. And you'll never, ever. People who think they can lose their salvation will never reach spiritual maturity. Ever. Not one of them. Here's one of the great rationale for eternal security. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And then he adds, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one, one in essence. So I have done lots of memorial services. Every memorial service I've done has been for a believer in Jesus Christ. And it's an honor and a privilege to do a memorial service for a believer in Jesus Christ. No one has ever asked me to do a memorial service for an unbeliever. I've never done any. But I've done lots of memorial service for believers in Christ, and this passage is one of the most important. And some of those people believed in Christ when they were young. Jesus Christ took them in their hand. And when it came time, they, regardless of what they did after salvation, when it came time for the Lord to say, come home, he led them home, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord. He never, ever stopped holding their hand. Eternal security. So at the moment of faith in Christ, both the Father and the Son take you in their hand. Three, being in the hand of God guarantees eternal security. He's holding on to your hand. Like you holding on to a little 2-year-old and they're, you're crossing the street or something, they've tripped coming off the curb or tripped going up the curb. They're going down, but they're not going to go down because you're holding their hand. You just pick them up, whee, and set them on the sidewalk. And God is always holding your hand. Four, the Lord also is holding the hand of the humble believer and guides him. He's holding his hand and guides him and teaches him his ways. Now only the humble believer. God's holding the hands of arrogant believers, humble believers, winner believers, loser believers. But there's no divine guidance for the arrogant believer. They're too busy. They're too selfish, too self-centered. They're spending all their time in arrogance. God goes to war with the arrogant, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. He promotes the humble. He guides the humble. But he can't guide the arrogant. They're not teachable. And if you're going to be guided by God, you have to be teachable. So, who are the... David's teachable. David is the greatest believer right now living on the earth at the end of this Absalom revolution. The greatest believer. He has genuine humility and grace orientation. He has maximum teachability. And look all throughout Psalm 25. Good and just is the Lord, and therefore he teaches sinners in his ways. And he just talked about him in his being a sinner. God, verse 5, guide me by means of your truth and intensively teach me and train me, because you are the God of my deliverance and rescue and safety. So the Lord takes the humble believer, not the arrogant believer. Now the arrogant believer is in his hand, but he can't guide him. He takes the humble believer in his hands and guides him and teaches him his way. All right, so we have verse 9, the first line. The meek will he guide in justice. This is the plural noun, anav, plus the hifil imperfect of darak, plus the preposition beth prefix to the noun mishpat. In verse 8... We're in verse 9, but in verse 8, just to bring you up to date here, in verse 8 we had the noun derek. We had the noun derek in verse 8, which literally meant way or road or path. And figuratively it referred to a course of life or a way of life or action. But now in verse 9, we don't have the noun, now we have the verb. D-A-R-A-K, the verb, darak. From which the noun derek is derived. So, darak in the cal stem, it means to march, to tread, to march forth. But we don't have the cal stem. We have the hifil stem. And in the hifil stem, it means to lead down the path, or to guide. So we have the hifil stem of the verb darak, to lead, to guide, to lead down the path, God's path, God's way, God's road. That's God's road is the grace road. The Lord guides the humble. He can't guide the arrogant. The only thing he can guide the arrogant is to clobber him and let him know he's wrong. He's out of line, but it doesn't tell him what he needs to be doing. Just tell him what he's doing is wrong. So that's all he can do with the arrogant. Warning discipline, intensive discipline, and if you don't shape up, dying discipline. But that's all that God can do with the arrogant. But he guides the humble. Why? Because he's teachable. He has respect for authority. He respects the authority of God. I mean, We're the body of Christ. Who's the head? Jesus Christ is the head. That means Jesus Christ is the authority. He calls the shots. Jesus Christ calls the shots. You don't call the shots. Jesus Christ calls the shots. And when the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, that's Jesus Christ giving the order. That's His giving the order. Either you respect His, He's the one who calls the shots. You don't call the shots, He does. Do you respect the one who's the commander, calls the shots? Some of you have been in the military. You ought to know better. The commanding officer calls the shot. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head. We are the body. He's the authority. He calls the shots. He's the general, five star. So the Lord guides the humble. And the word here is anav. I-N-A-N-A-V. Anav. Alright, a couple of things on this word. Anav comes from the verb ana. This noun comes from the verb ana. I-N-A-N-A-H. Anav. And the verb ana means literally, to become low, to be humbled, to be humble. Two, there is a noun, anava, which comes from the verb ana. I-N-A-N-A. V-A-H. This comes from the verb ana. This is the noun for humility. Anava is humility. And then three, where our noun is anav, and that comes from ana, and it means humble, meek. Four, humility is the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. If you don't have humility, you're going nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. If you don't have, what's the antithesis of humility? Arrogance. If you don't have humility, you're arrogant. And you are going nowhere in the plan of God except warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline. That's all you're going to do. Humility is the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. All other virtues of the spiritual life are built on the foundation of humility. This has to be there first. The foundational virtue of the spiritual life is humility. So humility is the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. All other virtues of the spiritual life are built on the foundation of humility. If you don't have humility, you'll never attain spiritual maturity. You'll never have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You will never have personal love for God the Father. You will never have impersonal love for all. You will never have occupation with Jesus Christ. You won't, because those are all built on the foundational virtue of humility. All other virtues of the spiritual life are built on the foundation of humility. Five, humility is the antithesis of arrogance. It is the antithesis of arrogance. Who's the expert on arrogance? Satan, the ruler of this world, temporarily. What was his sin when he fell? Pride, arrogance. And when he became the ruler of planet Earth, he developed a system to control the people on this planet. And that is the cosmic system, the cosmos. And what are the interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred? And we're witnessing it day after day after day in this country. Six, humility avoids Satan's cosmic system. Humility avoids Satan's cosmic system. Humility stays out of interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Seven, the Bible says that God goes to war with the arrogant, but he gives grace to the humble. God goes to war with the arrogant, but he gives grace to the humble. As David writes Psalm 25, he's in the middle of the Absalom revolution. Absalom is arrogant. He has usurped the authority that his father had as king of Israel. He removed his father from the throne in Jerusalem. David had to run for his life as Absalom and the revolutionary forces came in. David writes Psalm 25 out in the desert south of Jerusalem with some of the establishment forces that went with him. And he has left everything behind. But Absalom is arrogant. God goes to war with the arrogant, but he gives grace to the humble. God went to war with Absalom. He died the sin unto death shortly after this. God went to war with Ahithophel. He died the sin unto death same time. God gives grace to the humble. David has genuine humility. All the way through this, you see the genuine humility and grace orientation of David. And God delivered David, restored him as king, and the last part of his reign was the greatest. He was the greatest king in all of Israel's history. God goes to war with the arrogant, but he gives grace to the humble. James 4:6, 1 Peter 5:5. And it says in our verse, the Lord guides the humble. It doesn't say the Lord guides the arrogant. All he can do with the arrogant is clobber him. And get him to wake up and come to your senses. Rebound. Get back in fellowship with God. Get back into living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That's for us today in the church age and spiritual life in the age of Israel. David's day was the faith rest life. The Lord guides the humble. And then it says, in justice. And this is the preposition bath prefixed to the noun mishpat. The preposition bath looks like that in the Hebrew, bishava. It means in. And then we have the noun mishpat. M-I-S-H-P-O-T, mishpat. Now, literally, mishpat means judgment or the act of deciding a case in a court of law or the decision that is made by the shofet. See, we have mishpat. The judge is called the shofet. So the shofet is the judge. So the mishpat is the decision that the shofet or the judge makes. The Lord is the shofet. The Lord is the shofet who guides the humble in what is right. What is right is His word, the grace road, down the absolute truth of the Word of God. So the Lord is the shofet who guides the humble in what is right. So mishpat means justice or right. Corrected translation, He guides, He, the Lord, guides the humble in what is right. And the meek will He teach His way. The conjunction vav, prefixed to the PL imperfect of the verb lamath, great, great verb lamath. We've had it many times. You probably know it better than I do by now. Plus the masculine plural of anav, once again. And this time we have the noun derek with the third person singular masculine suffix. The conjunction vav is continuative, correctly translated and. And then this great verb lamad. L-A-M-A-D. Lamad. Couple of things. One, lamad means to be trained in the cal stem. To be trained or to learn in the cal stem. Two, in the PL stem, which is what we have, the PL stem is the intensive stem. This is intensive training. And this is what David understands, that those with the foundational virtue of humility, God will intensively train you in His word, in His way. He can only do that if you have humility. If you're arrogant, all He can do is spank you. So in the PL stem, is the intensive stem, which is what we have, it means to teach someone something. You teach someone, that's one accusative, something, that's the second accusative. It takes a double accusative. Or intensive training. Three, the Lord teaches someone, intensively trains who? The humble. The same word we had, anav, something. And what is the something? His way, Derek, Bible doctrine. Four, Derek, God's refers to God's ways. God's ways revealed in God's Word. How are you going to know God's ways? They're in God's Word. Why do you assemble in a sound Bible teaching church? To learn God's ways. If you want to learn crap, why go assemble somewhere else? I can help you find, if you are looking for crap churches, they're all over the place. I'll help you. You can go there. They got every stupid thing going on possible. We don't do that here. I don't put up with any of that crap. That's a problem. Why? Go and find another church, then they will give you diversity, inclusiveness. We have to be inclusive and show diversity. All roads lead to Rome, all religions lead to heaven. We should be very sensitive to all these people. All religions don't lead to heaven. Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me, Jesus Christ. One way. One way. Through Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. That's the absolute truth. And isn't it great that here that little purple book, God's gift of love to the world, Jesus Christ, is going all over Africa now. Cameroon, Nigeria, Liberia, Ethiopia. It's going all over Africa. And the people living in tribes in the jungles are believing in Jesus Christ. Now they have an opportunity to have Christmas every day. He guides the humble in what is right, and he intensively teaches and trains the humble his ways. The Yod file. One, humility is freedom from arrogance. Freedom from pride, freedom from arrogance. Two, therefore, humility cannot and does not exist in Satan's cosmic system. Satan rules the world through arrogance. He rules the world through arrogance and hatred. And our nation is in apostasy. We're in apostasy and degeneracy, and you can see the arrogance and hatred all throughout America. Day after day after day, you see the arrogance and hatred in our country. Major crime is gone through the roof. Murders have gone through the roof. What is that? Arrogance and hatred. It's multiplying, multiplying, multiplying. Our nation is apostate. It's degenerate. Where is humility? You could go back to the World War II and the Great Generation, and there was, even the unbelievers had respect for authority. Today we have no respect for authority. Today we attack authority, attack the laws of divine establishment, attack the police officers and law enforcement. We have no respect for authority. Businesses, people having businesses, they have no respect for those people, property or rights or anything. They just break in and steal what they want. And it's okay. And our government protects the criminal. And the law-abiding citizen suffers and suffers and suffers and suffers. What is that? What's going on? What's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. How do you get there? Living in Satan's cosmic system, arrogance and hatred. But humility doesn't exist. Impossible to exist in Satan's cosmic system. Three. One must be humble to learn the Word of God. You have to be humble to learn the Word of God. If you already think you know everything, then you'll never learn the Word of God. You'll never assemble under authority to learn the Word of God, because you know everything. You have to be humble to learn the Word of God. Four, humility connotes that you are filled with the Spirit. Arrogance is you're controlled by the sin nature. Humility means you're filled with the Spirit, which gives you objectivity and teachability. Five, humility, or being humble in the unique spiritual life of the church age, is recognizing the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head. We're the body. He's the one who calls the shots. Humility, being humble in the unique spiritual life of the church age, is recognition of the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ and responding to the authority of the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. Sixth, no one can learn the mind of Christ, the Word of God, without humility. And no one can advance in the plan of God without learning the Word of God. No one can learn the mind of Christ, the Word of God, without humility. And no one can advance in the plan of God without learning the Word of God. Seven, the greatest human mentality, human genius, human ability, human talent is totally neutralized by arrogance. The greatest human mentality, human genius, human ability, human talent is totally neutralized by arrogance. Eight, under God's grace plan, only the humble succeed. Under God's grace plan, only the humble succeed. Since the Bible is the mind of Christ, submission to the authority of our Lord is tantamount to consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. We submit to the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ by consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. If we become neglectful of Bible doctrine, we are in a state of rebellion against the authority of Jesus Christ. Nine. There is no substitute for humility in the spiritual life. No substitute for humility in the spiritual life. Ten. Arrogant believers are unteachable and they never grow up. Arrogant believers are unteachable and they never grow up. Eleven. Humility is understanding your own helplessness. It's understanding your own helplessness and appreciating what God in His grace and His power can do. Humility is understanding your own helplessness and appreciating what God in His grace and His power can do. 12. Humility is objectively evaluating your own life in the light of what the Word of God teaches. Humility is objectively evaluating your own life in the light of what the Word of God teaches. Thirteen, humility is the basis of grace orientation. There is no grace orientation apart from humility. Humility belongs to the royal family of God, the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, and it will lead to you attaining spiritual maturity, virtue, love, putting on the royal family honor code and operating by the royal family honor code. So being humble leads to you operating by the royal family honor code. Humility is recognizing the authority of Jesus Christ as the ruler of the church, and recognizing the authority of the mind of Christ, the Word of God, and recognizing the authority of the pastor-teacher as God's delegated authority to teach the Word of God to His sheep. This is the key. David got it nailed. Right at the time he's writing Psalm 25, he's the greatest believer on the earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ will deliver him. He'll be restored as king with greater blessings than he ever had before. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.